This morning we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. I've got up there just one verse, but I'm going to back up and read just a little bit more as we go into this passage. This is a pretty basic passage. It's one of the first verses I can remember teaching my children to memorize years ago. One of the first verses I can remember, other than John 3:16, that I can remember bringing, and studying and trying to remember. And so many people know this verse. They've heard this verse. But so many of us fall short. And so this morning I'm going to back up and I'm going to start reading in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6. So if you want to read along with me. It says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will not he much more clothe you? O ye of little faith, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Let's pray. Father, as we open your word this morning, I pray that you would truly open our eyes, open our heart. Lord, speak to us. Lord, we know you are present. Lord, I pray that we are submissive to your presence, that we are open to you. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this opportunity. May you be glorified. In your name we pray. Amen. That passage, like I said, it's one of my favorite. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And we go into that verse because it is so important to us, knowing as a Christian that all I've got to do is seek God, and He's going to take care of everything else. So why don't we do it? That was my question this week, is why don't I do what it says? It's so simple. It seems so simple. But as we back up and we read those passages that I just read, it says, do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. Over and over and over and over again, it tells us not to worry. And our excuse is, well, it's part of life. God has wired that into my brain, wired that into my being, that it's a natural thing because I love, because I care, I'm concerned, and my concern is really the same thing as a masked worry. And so we come up with excuses of why it's okay to worry. I do it all the time. I'm sure you do too. But what that does, I want us to look at this morning, and we may not be worried about clothing, we may not be worried about food, we may not be worried about some of the things that it lists right here. But I think our problem is, as Jesus is telling them here, don't put other things before me. You're worrying about other things that should not go before me. And so some people might say, well, there are other things that are really important that aren't on this list, and so it's okay to worry about them. 633 says, seek first the kingdom. It doesn't have anything else listed to which you or I should ever put before the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom. You know, this week as I'm at last, probably I've been trying to preach this sermon for about 4 weeks now. And I would get it prepared, or what I thought was prepared, and I would study, and I would have it in my notebook, and it was on the front page, and I was ready to preach it, and God would just, something wasn't right. And so I would go to something else, and I would preach what I felt led to preach that Sunday. And so I'm excited because this week I actually got here. So I'm excited to see what it is that God has for us this morning through this. But I know what He's given me over the past probably month on this passage. Because if we read this and it says, seek first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? What is it we're exactly supposed to be seeking? The kingdom of God can be a number of different things. It can be the eternal place where God dwells. It can be His kingdom, the whole earth. It can be inside each of us. It can be in us as a group, as a church. Which one am I supposed to seek? How am I supposed to do that when I can't see it? I can't be there until I pass away. How can I seek that? And so sometimes we just say, well, put God first. And that works pretty good. But I think we miss out on what it's telling us. When He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the first thing I think He wants us to do is to seek to enter His kingdom, to enter it. And I'm not talking just that eternal kingdom, that place where one day He's going to come, and whether He splits that eastern sky or whether I take my last breath and I end up going to heaven with Him, and eventually He sets up a new heaven and a new earth and I get to spend eternity with Him, and that's His kingdom. I want to enter that. I've chosen by accepting Him as my Lord and Savior that one day I will enter that. But what about now? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. To enter it now, because sometimes people want to look at it and say, well, you know, I accepted Christ when I was 21, and so therefore my salvation is set, and I will spend eternity with God, and I'll be in His eternal kingdom, and that's true. But what about now? What does that mean for now? When I enter that kingdom, He tells us in John 10:10 that He gives us life, and He gives us life abundantly. He doesn't just say, okay, here's your ticket to heaven someday. Hang on to this. He says, you're mine now. You've entered the kingdom of God right now. Understand that if you are a member of the kingdom of heaven, if you've entered through salvation through Jesus Christ, if you have done that, you are in His kingdom now. His desire is that all of us enter that kingdom. He says, seek it, pursue it, desire it, to be a part of that kingdom. Man, my prayer is this morning that each and every person within the sound of my voice has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they are a member of that kingdom. But that is a personal decision that that you have to make. It comes only through the blood of Jesus Christ. And only through the blood of Jesus Christ can we truly receive righteousness. The Bible tells us no one is righteous, no, not one. But then just a few chapters after that, it tells us that Abraham was righteous and Noah was righteous. And it tells us these other people were righteous. How were they righteous? How do I get that? They were considered righteous because of their faith in God. There is no other way to become righteous other than righteousness is right standing with God because of your faith in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. When you understand that, then God credits you with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When He looks at me, He no longer sees my filth. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when He does that, then I've entered into that kingdom. His desire is to wipe away your sins. He paid for them on the cross. But you have to make a personal decision to turn to Him, to seek His kingdom and to seek His righteousness is to realize that my righteousness is not good enough. The Bible says it's as filthy rags. And so I'm to seek His righteousness because that's the only way I can make it into the family of God. To become a child of God is through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And you may be saying, well, I did that several years ago. And yes, that takes place when you accept Christ. So how am I supposed to seek now? I think that's the second part that it gives us. When we seek His righteousness, we seek His kingdom, that's to honor His kingdom now. To honor the King of Kings right now with your life. That's what it means to seek the kingdom of God. To honor its King. To honor what it stands for. To align my thoughts and my actions with His divine standards. It's not I walk down an aisle and I ask God to forgive me. That's part of it. But then it's to repent of my sins and turn to Him, and it is to live my life honoring Him. My actions and my thoughts, my words should all change to meet His divine standard. And that doesn't happen just like that. It's a process of sanctification, becoming more like Jesus. Have you ever heard people say, you know, look at that older couple, how they look so much alike anymore, and how they act alike, and how they finish each other's sentences, and how they just become so much like each other. They weren't that way when they got married. Some of you are scared to death because you're looking at your spouse thinking, what am I going to turn into? You're getting nudged, all that stuff. But that's what happens. The more time you spend with people, the more you think like they think. The more you act like they act, and the more time you spend with Jesus Christ in His Word, in prayer, in praise, in worship, in thanksgiving, the more time you spend with Him, the more you will become like Him. And that honors Him. When we seek Him, we honor Him by becoming more like Him. The pursuit of a loving relationship with the Son of God is seeking the kingdom of God. It's not just having that salvation experience. Yes, that's part of it. But it's that process, that desire to know Him more, seeking to know Him more, seeking to honor Him by becoming more like Him. When we walk daily, do we seek Him? The Bible tells us if you'll seek Him, He will be found by you. If you seek Him with your whole heart. Well, that's the problem sometimes. You and I Man, I've gotten my Bible and I've opened it up and I've read it and I'm just not getting anything out of it. Continue seeking Him with your whole heart. Focus on who He is and what He's done and how much He loves you. And just who He is. Not what He's done. Everybody would be grateful for what He's done. But love Him for who He is. Just love Him for who He is. Enjoy time with Him. Seek Him first. Well, I've got a lot of things I've got to do when I get up. You've got a lot of things you've got to do when you get up. And I'll get around to that later. And I don't get around to it later. Well, I'll do it at this time. And maybe I do. But these other things come first. He should be your number one priority. He should be not my number one priority. To seek Him first means to pursue Him. Man, when Dallas and I first started dating in college, she was on the cross-country team and I was on the baseball team, and we met in the cafeteria. And some of you have heard this story before, but I change it every time to make me look a little bit better. That's all I can do. I can't change history. I can just change the story now. And I saw this cute little girl and I wanted to know her more. And so I chased her and she said, "No, I just want to be friends." And I said, "That's okay. I don't want to just be friends." And I won. 36 years ago, I won. I'm still winning. But it's that pursuit. I could have very easily stopped and had her as a friend and said, "Okay, at least I'm better off because I have her as a friend." But that's not all I wanted. It was to have her as an acquaintance. And there are so many of us that just have Jesus as an acquaintance because we're not willing to pursue Him, wanting a loving relationship that grows stronger every day. Because that takes time and that takes effort. And we're not willing to do that. Because I'm the Lord of my life. And if I surrender to Him, if I seek Him first, then I've got to be put on the back shelf. I've got to be put somewhere else than besides the throne of my life. And that's the truth that we all need to deal with. To seek Jesus Christ first, to pursue a loving relationship with Him first, is what it means to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what it means. And even though this verse we've known all of our lives that we don't do, and I say this, and again, I want to always come back because I know there are people out here that are doing this daily. And I thank you for the challenge that you've accepted from the Bible, not from me, from the Bible. And you're doing what God has called you to do. But I'm just telling you, there's a lot of times that I stumble and I don't. And there are others out here that stumble and they don't. And I realize that. But so many times we don't because we choose not to. We choose not to honor the King of heaven with our heart, with our worship, with our devotion. Because somebody else around here has our heart. And there are things that we worship. And there are things that we're devoted to that slip in and slide in and jump in front of God. When He says, "My kingdom has to come first." But you know, we're supposed to, like I said, we're supposed to enter that kingdom. That's part of seeking it. We're supposed to honor it and honor its King. That's part of seeking it. But also, preparing for its coming is part of seeking it. And yes, like I said, we're in it now. But the rest of it is coming, and you better be prepared. That's what I'm talking about now. We seek it here and now. We honor it here and now, but we better prepare for its coming. Well, I'm prepared. I accepted Christ when I was 21, and so I'm prepared for Jesus to take me on. When He comes, I want Him to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Sometimes I think we're okay to say, "Well done, enter into the rest." I hope you're not satisfied with that. I hope you want Jesus Christ to say, "You're doing good, and you're faithful to Him." Oh, I was faithful at church. I was faithful in Sunday school. I was faithful in vacation Bible school. I was faithful in being a good person. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what the Scripture says. To be faithful to Him is to live intentionally. When you go out, you live in such a way that you know the hope that you have in the future through Jesus Christ. And you live purposefully. The decisions you make are based on that. The reactions you have are based on that. Your life is based on the fact that He is coming back to take you home. Live intentionally. Live expectantly. Expect that it could happen at any moment. Expect and know that Christ could split that eastern sky before I finish this sentence. Expect that He is coming to get you. And I'm not saying live in fear of that. I'm saying live excited about that. Because if you're not excited about it, how is anybody else that knows nothing about it ever going to get excited about it? Live expecting it to happen. And not just live intentionally and live expectantly, but share with excitement. How many times do you and I walk past people and think after the fact, "I probably could have said this. I probably could have told them about Jesus"? Do you think of that more after than before? Unfortunately, that's the way it works for most of us. But to be able to stop and share the excited hope that you have, knowing that Jesus Christ is coming back and He's going to take His children home, and He is going to set up a new heaven and a new earth. And He's going to do that because He loves us. Because He did not want heaven without us. Share that with somebody, because they're not going to know otherwise. We have a tendency to just say, "Well, they'll see it in my life. They will know by watching me. They're going to know by watching you, watching me, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born of a virgin, came to earth, lived a perfect sinless life, chose to die on the cross for me, was buried, rose 3 days later, and is coming back to take me to heaven." They're going to see that in my life. They're going to understand that in your life. Yes, they need to see me live expectantly. They need to see me live intentionally. But they need to hear the excitement that I have in knowing that I am His and He is mine. And He wants to be theirs. But it's just so much easier to let somebody else do it. So I close asking us, do we fulfill this verse? Are we seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness? I'm not talking about all of these things are added to us. I'm not talking about that. And I'm really not even talking about the worrying part, because that'll take care of itself if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Am I truly seeking to enter the kingdom of God, to honor the kingdom of God, and to pursue and prepare for its coming? That's what it's all about. And Jesus said, do that first. You may have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you may not understand a whole lot of what I've said this morning. It's just some guy up here excited over a book. But understand that when Jesus Christ says, if you'll seek me first, I've taken care of everything else. If you will surrender to me, if you will seek me, if you will accept what I've done for you, then I will take care of everything else. But you have to surrender to Him, and you have to seek Him first. And when you do that, you will want to repent and turn from all those other things that get in the way of your loving relationship with Him. And Christians, we need to be seeking, because the day is coming and is not far away, that He is going to be ready to say, well done, a good and faithful servant to us. And I sure hope He doesn't say, how well did you seek my kingdom? Let's pray. Father, we just come before you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Lord, in all that we've talked about this morning, I pray that your Spirit was able to speak in spite of me. Lord, impress on our hearts what it is you have for us. Help us to be submissive to your will, to honor you and glorify you in all that we do. We thank you and we praise you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.